in just a moment. First, though, to Italy, via New York.
BBC Radio 3's Verdi 200 celebration continues with two of the great opera singers of our times at the peak of their careers. A historic 1977 performance from the Metropolitan Opera House, New York, of Verdi's The Force of Destiny, starring Leontine Price and Placido Domingo. Opera on Three, Verdi's La Forza del Destino, Saturday afternoon at the earlier time of 5 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Yes, should be good. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and also in high definition sound online. 11 o'clock the time now. Time for Late Junction. Tonight with Verity Sharp.
You made me feel such class. Gillian Welsh and David Rawlins with their song Paper Wings, and that's on the absolute must-have album called Revival. Welcome to Late Junction. We've got the latest Late Junction session for you tonight, and to complement the current Radio 3 season, we've given it a Baroque twist. It's a collaboration between the viol player Liam Byrne, whose name you may know from the group Fretwork, and the sound artist and electronic musician Martin Parker. Promises to be a good one. You'll hear the results in about half an hour's time. Meanwhile, here's another collaboration that bore fruit some years ago when the guitarist Bob Brosman sat down to play with Larry Union's René Lasakai. Here they are with Brosman's Zibi Pi Blues.
Quinta vai, é punha quem vem, é punha quinta vai, é punha quem vem, é punha quinta vai, é punha quem vem, é punha quinta vai, te chigangora de vai, nha danquel que nha tadan, nha compom bem compô, te chigangora de vai, nha danquel que nha tadan, nha compom bem compô. Chigangora din bai, nya dankel ki nya tadai, nya kompom ben kompo. Chigangora din bai, nya dankel ki nya tadai, nya kompom ben kompo. E kunya kim ben, e kunya kin tabai, e kunya kim ben, e kunya kin tabai, e kunya kim ben, e kunya kin tabai. E cunha quem vem, e cunha quinta vai.
ser rapariga, se era minha mãe que fazia bem-me-se. Minha pai troca, por ser rapariga, se era minha mãe que fazia bem-me-se. 4 horas de madrugada, me sou na rua andar, sem mãe, sem pai, sem ninguém nesse mundo. 4 horas de madrugada, me sou na rua andar, sem pai, sem mãe, sem ninguém nesse mundo. É cunha quem bem, é cunha quem tá bem. É cunha quem bem, é cunha quem tá bem. É cunha quem bem, é cunha quem tá bem. É cunha quem bem, é cunha quem tá bem. É cunha quem bem, é cunha quem tá bem. É cunha quem bem, é cunha quem tá bem. É cunha quem bem, é cunha quem tá bem. É cunha quem bem, é cunha quem tá bem.
Well, that man's been singing in his native country for many years, but this is the first time that he's actually made a recording for the world to hear. His name is Zé Luís. He's from Cape Verde, and he sings Morna, which is the Cape Verdean equivalent to the blues, or more closely perhaps to the Portuguese fado. Songs full of pain and longing, despite the upbeat rhythms. That one talking about someone who's lost everything. I walk the streets alone, with no mother or father, with no one in this world. The album is called Serenata, and it's been released by Loose Africa. Here are the four players of the Giamungo Factory with a piece portraying the beauty of a caged bird finally being set free. Thank you. The great sound of the jeomungo, the South Korean zither, in various shapes and sizes, played by the Jeomungo Factory, and that's a piece called To a Free Bird. You're listening to Late Junction with me, Verity Sharp, and from the album The Weight of Care, here is Jason Steele and Jessica's Fingertips.
Six seasons in a row. Now all the trees of their leaves are not letting go. Here I sit soaking it like a southern.
Jason Steele with Jessica's Fingertips. More about him, including his upcoming dates in April, on his website, jasonsteele.co.uk. This is Late Junction, and as tonight's session is going to feature the sound of the viol, electronically manipulated, I thought it'd be nice just to hear something straight beforehand. So here is possibly one of the best-known groups of viol players, led by the great Jordi Savall. This is Hesperion 20, and a setting of the medieval hymn tune Pange Lingua by Antonio de Cabazon.
Thank you.
A traditional song called Korutz Mohola, played by one of Hungary's young folk groups, the Buddha Folk Band, introduced to me via the latest release by the Rough Guide team, the Rough Guide to the Music of Hungary, where alongside the newcomers you'll also find the elder statesmen like Kalman Balo, who's a virtuoso of the cymbalum, which is that large hammered dulcimer. This man is now a legend in his own country. Here he is with his gypsy cymbalum band playing Kesheredes Kave, which means sweet coffee, inspired by the traditional dance music of Romania.
Thank you. lately been made. 'Tis of a little carpenter who courted a fair maid. He courted her, he loved her as his life. Oft times he asked her if she would be his wife. Along come an old man, he come from Noah's Ark. Long time a-travelin', a-goin' in the dark. I can't fancy you, old man, you look too old and grim. Oh, my little carpenter, what has become of him? Along come a blacksmith, it was the other day. He gave to me a handkerchief, oh, so the people say. He gave to me a gold ring to talk with him again. Oh, my little carpenter, what has become of him? Along come a young man, he come from Scarlet Town. Two gold chains and finger rings, he throwed them on the ground. I can fancy you, young man, you look so neat and trim. Oh, my little carpenter, what would become of him? Along come the carpenter, he comes so neat and slow. All the money that he makes, he brings to me to show. He hews with his broad axe all day and sits by me at night. Oh, my little carpenter, my own heart's delight.
That's Hedy West and the song The Little Carpenter, which Alan Lomax collected in East Kentucky in the 1930s, and which Hedy West actually transcribed for him when she was working on his manuscripts at the time. That followed on there from Calman Below and his Gypsy Cymbalum Band. If you like details, do log on to the playlist, bbc.co.uk/radio3. Follow the links to the Lake Junction pages from there. We've got the latest Late Junction session coming up for you in a moment, which has a significant Baroque twist to fit in with Radio 3's Baroque season. But before we hear it, here's one of my own Baroque favourites. This is Les Barricades Mystérieuses by François Couperin.
Thank you.
Couperin's Les Barricades Mystérieuses, as played by John Kitchen. You're listening to Late Junction on BBC Radio 3 with me, Verity Sharp, and now for this month's Late Junction session, which, as part of Radio 3's Baroque Spring, has brought together the viola da gamba player Liam Byrne and the electronic composer Martin Parker. I'll just give you a bit of background on these two artists. Liam Byrne is a soloist and also a member of the viol consort Fretwork. He's also collaborated with Damon Albarn on the opera Dr. D and has recently been on the road with the Icelandic producer Valgeir Sigurðsson. Martin Parker is an Edinburgh-based sound artist who's developed his own instruments and software to process acoustic sounds in real time. So we asked Liam to perform some of the early Baroque pieces of his choosing, which we then sent to Martin to remix or reimagine. And those pieces were a Vivace by Arbel, Les Voix Humaines by Murray, and an Almain by Ferrabosco. So we'll hear the musicians in conversation between each of the pieces, and it's the Ferrabosco that we're going to hear first. Liam Byrne is playing a six-string viol made of plum and walnut wood, and it's strung with pure gut strings, which is what particularly bent Martin Parker's ear.
Thank you. I'm Liam Byrne and I play the viola da gamba as a consort musician with the viola consort fretwork and as a soloist.
I'm Martin Parker. I'm a composer and think of myself as a computer musician. I do a lot of performances, improvisations and fixed pieces with laptop and usually other instruments.
So for this session, I've chosen three pieces, each of which has some kind of strong sense of sound world or a particularly strong kind of sonic identity. The first one was an Almain by Alfonso Ferrabosco the Younger, which was the model for the piece that we just heard. It's written for a lira viol, which is a particular kind of way of playing the viola da gamba where the strings are tuned differently from usual in order to heighten certain sonorities.
Yeah, there's something really beautiful about the sonority of this particular piece, or I should say this particular recording of this particular piece. On the one hand, there's a real sweetness and elegance to the sonorities, the long-held notes that sort of resonate and sing across the viol that, as you say, has been tuned in a non-linear way, but it's still tuned so that the instrument speaks and vibrates beautifully. And on the flip side, there's all these sort of bits of sound that fall as your bow crosses the string and glances across a note, or your hand must be twisting in a funny direction and causes a little clip. And of course the bow itself, as it grates across the strings, creates this wonderful kind of gritty dirt, which is in contrast to the real sweet purity of the tuning. And those are the things that really turned my ear on when I started to deal with the recording that you sent me.
The gut strings can be delightfully creaky at times. For me, that piece is almost, the experience of playing it is almost more about the kind of the kinesthetic aspect of the sonority than it is necessarily about what any of the notes do. And you have in the tuning this wonderful contrast between these very, very pure high notes and then these really kind of whooshy bass bits. And I think in the sound world that you've created, that dichotomy is really wonderfully celebrated.
Oh, well, thanks. But I put it on my graphics tablet and found myself drawing through really slowly, almost like your bow, you know, pulling across a string. I'm dragging the graphics tablet pen across your sound, trying to stretch it out and eke out all those little gritty details.
It's fascinating that you have taken a vaguely kind of graphic way of relating with this piece, because it's the one piece that's notated not in normal musical notation, but in tablature. Mm. So because of the funny tuning of the instrument, it's written in kind of standard 17th century lute tab, which is basically kind of like guitar tab. So I'm reading from a diagram that doesn't tell me what notes are going to come out. It tells me where to put my fingers. It tells me what shapes to make with my hands. And so for me, it's a fun experience because the notation is not as closely connected with my ear. So I have to go through this kind of route of the physical position in order to make the music come out as we know it.
Right, so what I did with Amare was to play it outside. I put the recording on my laptop, on a little portable music player, on some loudspeakers at a gig I was doing in the outdoors in Edinburgh, and I played this piece out in the world and recorded it back on my portable recorder. And of course what this technique is known as is worldizing, which was sort of coined by sound designer Walter Murch, where he's trying to reconcile this real difficulty you've got with a sense of perspective. It's really difficult in the studio, if not impossible, to actually create a sense of perspective where one thing sounds like it's actually in situ. And so the pragmatic answer is, okay, take that studio recorded material, actually put it out on the street, and then you can put the microphone where you want and capture it in situ. So it's just like another sort of piece of sound in the world.
It's funny, just listening to it though, I did actually feel quite kind of vulnerable just hearing the sound of that piece in a kind of noisy urban environment. It's so easy as someone who plays a lot of old music to sort of feel quite isolated from the world around us, and then to sort of see it in that setting. There was a kind of dramatic tension that you introduced somehow, which I really enjoyed.
Thank you.
That was a World Eyes version of Les Voix Humaines by Marais. I was in several places around Edinburgh, at the airport, at the Botanic Gardens in Edinburgh, carried it around with me for a couple of weeks and played it back in on different loudspeakers in different places and resituated the piece.
It's so cool that you decided to take this one to sort of show around to the world, because one of the reasons that I picked Les Voix Humaines is that it's one of the kind of Baroque pieces that I find is most successful to kind of bring out it. Kind of non-musical situations. It's one of the things that if I play for people who know nothing about Baroque music, who just want to hear me play something, it's the thing that people always have a very kind of direct response to. In fact, with all of the pieces that you've done, it's so cool for me to kind of hear this transformation that you've made. I always have these anxieties about these pieces being inaccessible or too delicate or kind of being somehow unable to survive in the modern world.
I do think that the viol in particular just works so well in a computer music context. It really, you know, speaks to it beautifully, and I suppose some of the instruments that I've built have, in order to play, you know, music with real musicians, I try and make a system that has an instrumental quality. That those might be, it's difficult to play. You put your finger down once and something comes out, you put it down again but slightly differently, something different comes out, and trying to sort of control those things is part of practicing, but also leads to a kind of spontaneity that I'm trying to extract from the original spontaneity that you recorded when you put it down. Yeah. I'm trying to find that again somehow when I'm in the studio.
Well, each of these three composers was a player composer in that they played the viol and wrote a piece of music for it, and so there's a lot of kind of kinesthetic significance to what goes on in these pieces. That is like a kind of thing where the physical sensation of playing the piece starts to inform or colour the aesthetic identity of the piece of music itself.
It's a really interesting point. I think with the Abel in particular, it strikes me as a piece that's always trying to end, or it doesn't want to end, but it is ending. It always has that feeling about it, and that's kind of what the main guidance I took from that.
You know, I would totally get in trouble, I think, with a lot of early musicians for saying this, but there's something about that piece to me that is just so static. It's just like this one kind of beautiful, moderately crunchy chord that just kind of happens in different ways. It's like the consonances aren't like super sweet and sentimental the way they are in the Marais, but also the dissonances aren't incredibly striking. The whole thing just sort of feels like you could reduce it to this one chord.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what you've done.
Yes, exactly. I've kept this one chord, well, but obviously with little changes here and there, and that's again, you know, a function of the instrument I made in order to respond to this performance, which I put my fingers down on a multi-touch device, and wherever they land, that just picks out some bits of sound from the recording and sits there, and as I slowly move my fingers around, I can change the sort of duration of the chord or its rhythmic patterning, and then I've created a whole library of those things, and then, you know, planted them down quite carefully in a timeline that tries to reflect this thing of stopping and not stopping. Or not wanting to stop.
Yeah, it's the not wanting to stop is the way I often feel about that little bit where the G sharp and the A come at the same time,
yes,
whatever that's called in harmonic tones.
A Vivace by Carl Friedrich Abel, as you've never heard it before. Recorded by Liam Byrne and reduced to pretty much one static chord by the computer musician Martin Parker. My thanks to them for a great collaboration and a great interview too, giving us lots of food for thought there. And if you'd like to hear that exclusive Late Junction session again, it will of course be on the Late Junction page of the Radio 3 website for the next week, but you can also download it too and keep it for longer. The address, as ever, bbc.co.uk/radio3, and just follow the links to the Late Junction pages. You are listening to Late Junction on BBC Radio 3 with me, Verity Sharp, and here are two traditional tunes and a marching song from the Auvergne region of France.
Chantier, tu seras pas payé, tu t'en iras nu tête. Mais où vas-tu, joli chantier, embarque dans mon navire. Mais quand la belle fut embarquée, la belle se mit à rire. Mais quand la belle fut embarquée, la belle se mit à rire. Belle, qu'avez-vous, belle, qu'avez-vous, qu'avez-vous à t'en rire? Ah ouais, chantier, tu seras pas payé, tu t'en iras nu tête. Belle, qu'avez-vous, qu'avez-vous à t'en rire?
Si tu savais, mon beau galant, qui j'appartiens la fée.
Si tu savais, mon beau galant, qui j'appartiens la fille.
Je suis la fille du kit, la plus pauvre de la ville.
Je suis la fille du kit, le plus pauvre de la ville.
Si t'es la fille du kit, débarque mon navire.
En voyant voir le chantier, tu seras pas payé, tu t'en iras nu-tête.
Si tu savais, mon beau galant, qui j'appartiens la fille.
Si tu savais, mon beau galant, qui j'appartiens la fille.
Je suis la fille du marchand, la plus riche de la ville.
Je suis la fille du marchand, le plus riche de la ville.
Si t'es la fille du marchand, rembarque dans mon navire.
Si t'es la fille du marchand, rembarque dans mon navire.
C'était le temps de rendre la partie, du temps qu'elle est apprise.
C'était le temps de prendre la perdrix, du temps qu'elle est apprise.
Là, elle s'en va de branche en branche, de navire en navire. Envoyez chantier, tu seras pas payé, tu t'en iras nu tête.
Brothers Fred and Nicolas Pellerin from Quebec, and a traditional song called The Carter. And if you're a fan of Quebecois music, do take note that the group Le Vent du Nord are going to be in the UK this summer, playing at many festivals, including WOMAD and the Cambridge and Sidmouth Folk Festivals. Do catch them if you can. Sidmouth Folk Week has to be one of my particular favourites. It happens in the first week of August each year. And one of the main attractions for me, anyway, is that you can play in sessions in pubs around the town, quite literally from midday until midnight every day. Which is just a great way to pick up new tunes like these. Just imagine these three fiddlers sitting round a table in a dusty corner, pints half full, and just getting stuck into the wonderful lilt of this traditional English music.
Thank you. off at Yarlet Clatchman. He had a horse in a saddle, for to cock his leg across with me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along a me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. As he was a riding by a brook, he saw a little fisherman a-fishing with his hook. With me, hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along a me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. Oh, master, oh, master, oh, master, says he, have you got a little crab fish you can sell out of me? With me, hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along a me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. Oh, yes, kind sir, I want two and three, the biggest in the basket I will sell unto thee. With me, hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along o' me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. He took the old crabfish by the back horns, hung him on his back and toddled him off home. With me, hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along o' me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. When he got home, he couldn't find a dish. He put it in the pot where the lady used to. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along o' me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. The lady, she jumped out of bed to do what she did want. It's not a little crabfish pinned her by the hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along o' me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. Oh, husband, as sure as you are born, there's the devil in the piss pot that's sticking up his hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along o' me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. So one got the stick and the other got the broom. They chased that old crab all around the room. With me, hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along o' me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. Oh, wife, you must be going mad. You don't know the devil from an old sea crab. With me, hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along o' me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson. So now my song is ended, I'll finish with the ditty. There once was the baby born with the crabfish on his titty. With me, hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, come along o' me. Hi, Jinny, me, old Jinny, me, Johnson.
Well, I don't know, that poor old crab. The sorry tale of the crabfish, as told by the late Harry Cox, a farm worker, singer and true tradition bearer from Norfolk, who died in the 1970s, but still inspires many musicians to this day. Following on there from the playing of Johnny Adams, Chris Partington and Paul Roberts, collectively known as Our Northern Branch. And those were two traditional English jigs, She Wants a Fellow and Thomas Burkitt's. And from crabs to fishes, this is a sweet lullaby from Australia, as sung by Jackie Oates.
Fisherman's hook.
Hey ho,
don't cry. little fishes,
don't cry,
you'll be a whale by and by. Watch out, little fish, they're out after you, but you can't escape away into the blue. You just swim around the fisherman's bait, and you won't end up on the fisherman's plate.
Hey, oh,
don't cry, little fishes,
don't cry,
you'll be away by and by. Hey, oh,
don't cry,
little fishes,
little fishes,
don't cry.
Jackie Oates with the song Little Fishes and the tune The Rainy Day Fisherman, and that's on her recent album of lullabies. Well, as many of you know, myself and Fiona Talkington have been presenting Late Junction ever since it started back in the year 2000. But I've decided now to leave the regular presenting in Fiona and also Max Reinhardt's capable hands while I go off and pursue a few more musical dreams. I can't thank the production team enough for all their insight and wisdom over the years. And of course, the same goes for you, the listeners. It's been a remarkable programme to work on. And of course, it will go on to inspire us all for many years to come. As for now, don't forget to download the latest Late Junction session that we heard tonight from Martin Parker and Liam Byrne. My thanks to producers Olwen Fisher and Felix Carey. Do join Fiona Talkington for Late Junction next week. And I'll just leave you here with Lubomir Milnick and Peter Broderick. And this is a gentle piece they call A Warmer Place. Good night. Thank you.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. Our Baroque spring is now well into its stride, and this concert of Bach and Handel is one the European Union Baroque Orchestra, conducted by Lars Ulrik Mortensen, gave in November 2011 in Warsaw. To come here, a Handel Concerto Grosso, the eloquently expressive Il Pianto di Maria by Ferrandini, a Bach Brandenburg Concerto and a cantata of his, and a Handel cantata to get the show on the road, one of his so-called Italian cantatas, a sacred one, A Che Troppo Inequali. It's from the time the young Handel was in Rome in the early 18th century, absorbing every musical influence there was. The soprano is Maria Chiohane.